I am going to just speak a few words this morning about refreshing our view of fatherhood. Refreshing our view of fatherhood. And by the way, next Sunday is the 26th. And you see the altar that we have with the stones on it. Some of you were able to be here on that June 26th 2 years ago when we had our a strategic faith launch, and we built this altar together with the names of those who were present on stones. I'm going to talk about this next week, but it will also be an opportunity for those of you who did not participate on that night to add your names to the altar. So if you're interested in doing that, next Sunday I will explain it all. But make it a goal of yours to be here next Sunday so you can be a part of this amazing blessing. And it is an amazing blessing that God gave us 2 years ago on the 26th of June. Amen? Amen. Refreshing our view of fatherhood. Fatherhood is not for the faint of heart. Amen? It's not for people who are of weak constitution. I mean, I know my father had 8 children, and I was one of them. And just to give you an example of what I mean, my brother, my oldest brother, who is really sort of like a father figure to me because he's, you know, significantly older than me, but one day he was showing me gun safety. He had somehow got his hands on my sister's 38, and he was showing me what to do and what not to do with a handgun. I must have been, I don't know, 12 maybe. And so he's holding this firearm, and he's holding it near my face so I can get a good look at the safety mechanisms. And he shows me the bullet in the chamber, and he says, see, when you pull the trigger, it rolls up one. And as long as the safety is on, it won't fire. So take a look here. So I'm looking, and he pulls the trigger, and boom, gun goes off. I fall backwards onto the bed thinking I'm dead. Obviously, I was not. But he thought I was dead, too, because he kept screaming, Danny, Danny, Danny. And I didn't answer because I was in shock. I just laid there. I got up, and my dad walks in instantly, having heard the sound. The bullet had gone through the window of our bedroom and lodged in our neighbor's aluminum siding at the top. And my dad walked in. He didn't know what had gone on. I think my brother threw the gun under the bed or something. I don't know what he did with it, but he wasn't holding it when my dad walked in. And my dad said, what are you all doing in here? And I had nothing to say. I had no words came to my mouth, and my brother wouldn't say anything. And so my father drew his own conclusions, and he said, smelling the gunpowder, firecrackers, y'all need to be ashamed of yourselves. And he walked out. I'm glad he thought it was only firecrackers, because had he known the truth, and to this day, when we go back to my hometown and go back to the house I was raised in, and we look at our next door neighbor's house, my brother and I always look up and point at that little hole, that bullet hole, still up in the aluminum siding of our neighbor's house. And I remind him frequently, that could have been my head. So I understand why a woman once said to me when I was raising my own children, and I had all these noble goals for what I wanted them to be. And I remember that one pastor friend of mine said, I had this vision of all of my children being missionaries off somewhere. By the time they became teenagers, I just prayed that they'd be law-abiding citizens. One woman took it a step further than that, and she said, honey, I know you got all these goals, but listen, you just keep them alive till they're 21, and you've done your job. It's not for the faint-hearted. But I wanted to share some words with you that will help us to refresh our view of fatherhood, Dad, so that we are not just going through the motions. And some of these will register more than others, and that's fine, and I'm going to go through them very quickly because, as I said, there will be some things that will be following me, and so I don't have a full-length message this morning. But I'd like you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Because as I thought about the blessings and the challenge of fatherhood, this passage came to mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I'm looking at verses 13 and 14. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. Do everything in love. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. Do everything in love. I think the New American Standard Version says, act like men. I think the King James Version says, quit ye like men. But the idea is be of strong courage, because it's not for the faint-hearted. It's not for cowards. It's not for people of weak constitution. And I think of this passage, it could have been written directly to and specifically for fathers when you think about it. Be on guard for your family's well-being. Stand firm in the faith, setting a godly example of trusting the Lord through challenges. Have courage. Move forward step by step, despite the fears and the uncertainty and challenges that you'll face. As they were singing the song, you will make a way. He will make a way. Be strong, it says. Don't let the pressures overwhelm you and crush you. Do everything in love. I'm going to give you 12 words in 12 minutes. So you got to write fast. That can help us to embrace this verse, to develop it, and to help us to have a refreshed view of fatherhood. The first word is accept. Accept. Accept each day as a gift, dads, because it is. No matter what the pressures are, no matter what the challenges are, accept each day as a gift. Accept each day as a fresh opportunity, because some days we're going to be on it and other days we are not. It's just the way it is. But accept each day as a gift, as a fresh opportunity, and ask yourself, are there things I just need to accept and stop trying to force? Are there things that I just need to accept? Because we many times want to make it right, and sometimes we can't. So just ask that question prayerfully before the Lord. These are words that we can nurture our faith and our fellowship with the Lord by posing them, considering them, asking ourselves these questions, and looking at the world through these lenses, the lenses of these words. So accept is the first word. The second word is cultivate. Cultivate, fathers, your relationship with the Lord, and do it with praise and thanksgiving. Begin the day with praise and thanksgiving. There's much to pray about. There are many things that we're trying to get right and trying to fix and things we want to see happen. But cultivate our relationship with the Lord with praise and thanksgiving. And ask yourself this question, what things can I cultivate in my home to make life better for my family? What things can I cultivate in my family to make cultivate in my home to make life better for my family. The third word is disclose. What can I share with my family about how life is affecting me on the inside? I'm not just the caretaker of the family. The family is also there to take care of me. So what things are going on about how life is affecting me? How am I dealing with it that I can share with my family to help them to care for me? The fourth word is diversify. What can I add to my family to stir it up a little bit? Throw something in the mix. Diversify. Number five, focus. What does my weekly activity tell me about my focus? What does my weekly activity tell me? As I look at my calendar, as I look at my schedule, as I look at my to-do list, as I look at my log, as I look at the stuff that I was engaged in this week, what does my weekly activity tell me about my focus? Am I happy about it? More importantly, is love my focus? It says, do everything in love. Love is not for the faint-hearted. Love is a challenge. Because sometimes it's done in the face of opposition, and sometimes it's given where it's not appreciated, and sometimes it's misunderstood and misconstrued. But love anyway. Do everything in love. And love is not soft, brothers, you know. I remember Michael Jackson saying, I'm not a fighter, I'm a lover, you know. Sometimes you have to be a fighter to be a lover. Because love is something that you have to fight for. You have to be tough to love. I want to read to you something from this week's View from My Place. And this one, I'm going to take a little bit longer on this one, but I'm going to move on quickly. In your bulletin, some of you read this week, but I just want to read it. I just want to share it with you. Because this is what I mean by love is sometimes tough. And it requires you to take a stand. And it requires you to sometimes take a hit. But here's what I wrote in this week's View. Orlando is God's judgment on the gay community and is nothing compared to hell. Now, this was posted on Facebook by a Christian whom I knew many years ago back in Michigan, long time ago. And because I used to be this person's pastor, I felt inclined to respond. And this is how it went down. Me. Well, what was the cause of a man pretending to be a Bible study attendee and then shooting and killing all the attendees? Was that God's judgment too? Be careful about pronouncements about why something happened. Bad things happen to Christians too. Now, I need to say parenthetically that she interacted with me on this particular point and said, well, there's a difference between persecution and judgment. And I said, well, that incident in South Carolina was not persecution because the person walked in to kill black people, not Christians. That's what the person said. So, but regardless, I went on and she said, wow, I'm embarrassed to call you a pastor. When did you fall away from the truth in Scripture? Do you have God's standard on sexual immorality? And I responded, well, you don't have to call me a pastor if you prefer not to, but my comment still stands. Be careful about making pronouncements of God's judgment because tragedy visits all people. God is the only one who knows the reasons for devastating storms, terrible accidents, sickness and disease, and seemingly absurd acts of violence or little children being snatched by an alligator. God is the only one who knows why certain things happen. Be careful about pronouncing them as God's judgment. Yes, I believe in God's standard for sexual morality. I believe everything the Bible says about what's right and what's wrong and where sex should be practiced and how it should be practiced. I believe everything about that. But I also believe in his standard for all conduct and activities and attitudes. The same God who hates sexual sins also hates gluttony. He hates jealousy. He hates grumbling. In fact, the earth opened up and swallowed grumblers. There's more judgment on God's people because of what they said than what they did ever in the scripture. Because of what came out of their mouths. Grumbling. Pride. God's standard for pride. Envy. Self-righteousness. If God were inclined to judge people for their sin right now, he would have quite a number of categories to choose from. And to suggest that he would select some and bypass others is to not understand the gospel or his infinite holiness. As the scripture says, if you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? See, my problem with Christians who claim to be upholding God's standard is that they don't go far enough in understanding exactly what the standard is. God hates all sin, not just the ones we hate. His standard is perfection, not just being better than somebody else. And on that day when he judges all sin, faith in Christ, not cleaning up our sin, will be the only claim any of us will have to righteousness. In the meantime, we would do well to follow Jesus' instructions to a group of self-righteous religious folk, but go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call the righteous. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. In Sunday school, we were talking about this. We talked about how Jesus came to catch the ugly fish. I didn't come to catch pretty fish. I came to be a fisher of men. I came to catch the ugly ones, the ones that people want to throw back, the ones that faces all messed up. I didn't come to catch pretty fish. I came for the unrighteous. I came for sinners. To stand up as a man, as a dad, for love will mean taking some unpopular positions at times. But as representatives of Jesus Christ, and as men acting out of courage, in our own families, we need to keep this focus. Is this about love? Or is this about being right? See, this is what happens when right becomes your God instead of the living God. Because the living God said that love needs to be our great quest. The living God said that if there's any other commandment, it's summed up in this: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Love is therefore the fulfillment of the law. And so someone would say, well, what is love? That's so nebulous. Everybody talks about love. No, it's not. It's very specific. Love is patient. Love is kind. You think it's kind to say that, you know what, this is God's judgment on you, and you don't know what you're talking about? Is that kind? Is kindness coming out of your mouth? Let's start there. You know, it's not nebulous. Let's start right there with kindness. And we don't need to even go on with the rest of the list if we can't get past kindness. Why read more? I'm moving on. The next word, number six, is follow. The Lord, brothers, has never asked us to figure it all out. He's asked us to follow. To follow him. So our goal as dads, let's be responsive. Take the pressure off. You don't have to remember it all, figure it all out, execute it perfectly. Be responsive. The Lord's not going anywhere. He's given us the Holy Spirit as a teacher, as a counselor, as a coach. And he will bring it to mind and he will help us to know how to respond in the moment. And even if not in the moment, after the moment has passed, he will speak to our hearts. Won't he, brothers? He will speak to our hearts. If you didn't get it right, it's not too late. You can go back and say, you know what? That wasn't right. I didn't get it right. That's responsiveness. And that's just as precious as getting it right on the front end. Say, I'm sorry, I didn't get it right. I'll try better next time. Next word, imagine. Don't be afraid to imagine a preferred future for your relationship with the Lord and your family. Don't be afraid to dream before the Lord about what you would like to see happening that's not happening right now. Don't be afraid, brothers, to ask him for what you want to see happening in your family. Eight, inspire. Inspire others with the inspiration you have received. Inspire others with the inspiration you have received. And do this by either sharing what was inspiring or acting on what inspired you. Number nine, reflect on where God has brought you from and what he's doing in you and what he has done through you. You know, brothers, there's always going to be more to be. We're never going to be all we want to be because there's always going to be more out there to be. But like it said, Lord, you brought me this far and God will make a way. Celebrate what God has done in you. Give him thanks. Don't always look at the more that you ought to be. Take some time to say, thank you, Lord, for what you are doing. Thank you that I even care about being more. Thank you that I even care about being a better dad, a better husband. Thank you for what you've done, Lord. You have done great things. And I celebrate your faithfulness to me. So reflect on where God has brought you from. And respect is number 10. Respect the uniqueness of each family member, and that includes yourself. I want to say a word in support of the fix-it brothers. Because see, being a fixer has taken a bashing. You know, I don't need you to fix me. I don't need you to fix it. I just need you to listen. Right? I don't need you to fix it. And you know what, brothers? I'm going to say it. How many of you have heard that? Okay, so on this day, I'm going to support the fix-it brothers. Okay? This is the support for the fix-it brothers. We understand that you want us to listen, and you want us to get it, and you want us to care, and you don't want us to recommend. We understand that. But there is something inside of us that God has placed inside men who want to defend, who want to protect, and who want to make it better. That's good. And you think it's good, even though you say, don't fix it. Because if there's a sound in the night, you don't want me to just listen to it. Amen? Amen. That's right. So the thing that we want to do, brothers, is not... there's nothing wrong with being a fix-it person. See, so don't throw that overboard. See, growth is not throwing positive qualities overboard. It's just adding more cargo. So let's bring the cargo on of being able to listen, but let's not jettison the fix-it cargo because it comes in handy. We need this. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Number 11 is simplify. Everything is not a 10. Don't let non-essentials clutter your life. Everything is not a 10. Don't let non-essentials clutter your life. We got enough we're dealing with. And finally, surrender. Surrender all desires, all abilities, all deficiencies, all worries, all failures, all feelings of inadequacy, shame, guilt. Surrender each family member by name, every kid, your spouse. Surrender them to the care of the living Lord. I'm surrendering them to you. Imagine yourself putting them in his hands. Imagine the Lord lowering his hands to earth when you are spending time with him like this. And imagine yourself escorting each person that we care about in our families into his extended hands. And imagine him lifting them up to himself because he's got them and he's got it. And imagine him taking you in his hands. Surrender it all to him. It says, cast all your anxieties on him, all of them. And sometimes our families are our greatest anxieties. Cast them all on him because he cares for you and he cares for them. And so with all that said, I am done. And now I'm going to let the ladies do the rest of what they have to do. God bless you.
Good morning, beautiful church family. We can see love is in the air. And what I want to say is praise God from whom all blessings flow. And I had to write my little paper because, as Jim can tell you, sometimes I get started and I just keep babbling on and on. And so I had to put some parameters on myself. So Pastor Dan, thank you for that 12-step program. The fathers need it, and the mothers need to hear it. So thank you so much for that. And the next thing I'm going to say, as we've already said, again, happy, happy Father's Day. Where would we be if we didn't have our fathers? Some of them are given to us, and some of them volunteer for the office. And I'm just so glad because I was the recipient of the person who stepped in and became my dad. Today, we will celebrate Father's Day as an acknowledgement that God has commissioned you. He has commissioned you to fatherhood. He has appointed you. He has given you this awesome task. And it's a task that some things we can walk away from, some things we can separate ourselves from, but no matter what's going on in your life, Father is always your Father. So before we go further in the program, I just want us to take a moment to acknowledge all the fathers who have transitioned to Christ. Who have transitioned. We love them. They will always be in our heart. And we will never, ever forget them. And we also want to acknowledge all the fathers who wanted to be here today, but for some reason, they are not able to be here. So what I'm going to do at this point is pause and ask us to bow our heads and give praise and thanks and an acknowledgement to those fathers who have transitioned. So we'll have a silent prayer. May God's blessings be with all of you. Amen.
You want to have them stand up?
I think I'm going to have them stand up so they can all wait.
Okay. Good morning, everyone, and happy Father's Day once again. I'm going to ask that all the fathers come forward and stand just in front. Just like you had us moms do, we want the fathers to do the same. We want you to interlock your hand. All fathers.
A fine looking group.
Yes. Awesome. Isn't this a fine group of men standing here? Fine group of men standing here. All of us ladies standing here will be praying for you this morning, and I have the easiest one, which is to thank God for you and thank you for being fathers. As we've heard already, as Miss Evelyn said, you were commissioned to that divine appointment.
Amen.
And so we don't take it lightly. We actually look to you and know that it was something that God chose. You would not be a dad if he hadn't chosen you to be a dad. On yesterday, as we were honoring one of our favorite dads, Brother Jim,
amen.
And we thank God for him all the time. And for so many of us, I don't know how you do this, Elder Jim, spread it out to be so many of our father, but but I tell you, you know, he really has somehow done that. As we did that yesterday, I heard more than once some of the women go up and they said, we have some awesome men at Valley Brook. More than one said that. And yes, we do. Look at you. You are an awesome group of men. And I've often said that about the men of Valley Brook. I said, you could look to any of them for any positive thing that you need. They have it. They have it. It's within this household of faith. God has been faithful to his promise to provide everything in the household, each household of faith, and he surely has done that here at Valley Brook. And then when we exchanged an email about praying this morning, the women very quickly said, it would be an honor to pray for you. You know what that says about you? I really want you gentlemen to take that in, because they said it would be an honor to pray for you this morning. That's huge. And so as I was looking to the Lord about praying, about thanking you, because there's so many things, I was inspired by me and Dan's daughters this morning. Kara sent in an email, and she said, I'm just so grateful for the too many, you attended too many dance recitals, you know, coaching classes, wrestling teams, this, you know, things at school, school activities. She said, too many to count. And isn't that like our Heavenly Father? We can't count His blessings. We try, but we can't count. We'll fall asleep before we get there. We cannot count them. Valami gave Dan a card this morning I will share, and I believe that this card will speak for all of us about our dads. It says, the love of a father for his children is more than provision and protection, leadership and guidance. It's a part of who we are, what we become, and the way we serve the Lord with our lives. It is a strong and binding cord that runs through the fabric of our character, a rock we can stand on for courage and support, and a foundation that lies securely beneath us. Your love is an ongoing expression of God's love. And you, each of you, are appreciated in ways that go beyond words. With love and respect for you on Father's Day, and always with love. Yeah. Let's just bow our heads in thankfulness. Father God, we do come to you on this glorious day, thanking you for the privilege of man even setting aside a day to look at our fathers. Thank you for each and every one of them. Thank you for what they've done. Thank you for what they tried to do. Thank you that they try over and over again. Thank you that they love their children so. Thank you that they put their own lives in danger when needed in order to protect their own children. Thank you, God, for who they are. Thank you for this group of men, for how they follow you. Thank you, Lord, that you set the example, and they go like soldiers marching forward, Lord, ready to do your bidding. Thank you for that. And Father, we have not put on rose-colored glasses. We thank you for all the fathers, all of them, even if they were not so-called perfect. We thank you for their mistakes, Lord, because with mistakes, we learn how unconditional your love is. With mistakes, we learn that we will make mistakes in this life. We thank you, Father, that our fathers cannot give us, respond to our every single need, because God, it points us to you. You are the one who can respond to every need. And so you give our earthly fathers a limit so that we can move forward in our relationship with you. So we thank you for that, God. We thank you, God, that every father may not have been the father we may have been looking for. Maybe he drank a little too much. Maybe he gambled a little too much. Maybe he wasn't home as often. But guess what, Lord? We're still standing here because somehow you use that situation, the quote, imperfect situation, to lead me straight to you. Father God, that's what happened. You said all things come together for good. And you took those situations when people needed some other kind of help, and you were able to say, this is the way, I'm still here. So we thank you even for them, because guess what, Lord? If nothing else, we have life because of them. Thank you for that, God. So, Father God, and we want to thank you for all of your promises, that these men can stand on your promises. Remind them, God, daily, that they can stand on your promises, that you will never leave them nor forsake them, that as you've been with them this far, you'll be with them tomorrow too, and into eternity. So, Father God, it's all these things I pray. In Jesus' name.
Dear Lord, I take this opportunity with honor to just recognize the men of Valley Brook that are excellent role models, Lord. They're role models for their children, for our daughters to know who to look for when they're trying to find someone to spend their life with. that they've had a father that's honored them, and that they need to find a man that will honor them.
Yes.
And we just thank you for all the men here that have tried to be a father to everyone that's in this building, Lord, in every way possible, not turning away a child that needs something, because that's not my child.
Yeah.
And we just really, really appreciate the heart that they have, and they show love in everything that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And appreciate that, and thank you for that. In Jesus' name.
Father, I thank you for the relationships that you have instilled in our fathers to seek with their children. God, we know as children, we don't always get it right. I'm reminded, God, of the seasons that our children go through. As young people, they look to their fathers for everything, everything practical. They're strong, they're sturdy, they're just everything that they need. They become teenagers, and they don't know anything. Maybe even into their 20s, they don't know anything. But God, there comes a time when you have to reckon for yourself what you've been given. And God, I'm reminded how selfless a father is, that they give up everything for their children. And that brings me back, Lord, to a place of thankfulness for who our fathers have been to us, good, bad, or indifferent, God. They've taught us how to be good parents or not to be, or how to learn how to do better. So, God, I thank you for the men of Valley Brook and their ability to strive for deeper and greater, more authentic relationships with their children, with each other, with their wives. God, we just thank you so much for the seasons that each of these men are in right now with their relationships with their children. For those that have teenagers, God, they're going to come around. We know that they will. We thank you for that. We thank you for that. For those that have gone over to the other side, God, and now have children that just see them in such a light, the true light of selflessness and love and compassion that they've shown for so many years. Allow them to be the light, God, that shares with the younger fathers, God, that it's going to be all right, that their children will come and come around. And God, thank you for the example that you have set for our fathers, God, that you never discard us, that you always love us and you always seek to be there for us. And our Father, you never forsake us, Lord. So, God, we thank you for these men and their journey. We thank you, God, for the relationships that they've already built and those that are to come. We are just so grateful for you. And we don't take it for granted. These men that stand before us, sometimes, God, it's so rare to see strong men. But, God, we honor you on today. We honor you for their faithfulness. We honor you, God, for their steadfastness and love and compassion that they continue to show. And we're just so grateful. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord. All things come from you. And from you, Lord, our strength and our motivation, our energy, it all comes from you. And we ask that as we leave this place, Lord, that we would continue to blossom in our personal connection with you. Lord, you are the difference in our lives. And we honor you as the difference maker. You work with us and coach us in our attitudes and behaviors and, Lord, our aspirations. It all comes from you. And so we give you honor and glory on this day. We ask that as we leave this place, you'd give us all safety. We ask that tomorrow morning, Lord, we have fresh energy, fresh excitement about tackling a week that never was and never will be again. Blessed by your presence with us. And now may the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forever. Let us all say amen. Okay, I was just reminded to say, dads, get ye therefore to the hospitality table first, because they are waiting for us.